Call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is February 8th, 2022. The time is 1:05 p.m. Please silence all cell phones. Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Hoffman, myself, Senator Bishop. Senator Wilson is in chairing another committee, and Senator Von Imhoff is watching from distance delivery at the present time. I'd like to thank Jake and Allison. Today's agenda is SB 72, Secondary Public School Civics Education, SB 80, 72, Senate Bill 72 on civics education. This is our second hearing of this bill. Our intention is to consider a committee substitute, cover fiscal notes, and look to the will of the committee. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask that the Finance Committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 72, Version D, before the committee as our working document.
Thank you, and I'll object for discussion. And Ms. Shine, would you please come up and walk us through the changes, please?
For the record, this is Erin Shine, staff to co-chair Bishop and the Senate Finance Committee. The changes between version N and version D are as follows. In section 1, page 2, line 12, you'll see that the passing score was amended from 60% to 70%. And then again on page 2, line 30 in section 3, the effective date was changed from July 1st, 2022 to July 1st, 2023. I'm happy to answer any questions the committee might have.
Questions from the members? I'll remove my objection. We do have Senator Stevens and Mr. Lamkin here. We need any further questions of them? Seeing none, Senator Wilikowski, could you cover the fiscal notes, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is OMB component 2796. It's Department of Education and Early Development. Allocation is for student and school achievement. There are a total of four one-time expenses that in FY 2023, there are services totaling $9,500 and grants and benefits totaling $43,000 for a total general UGF spend of $52,500 in 2023, and no further expenditures after that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further questions on the fiscal notes? Seeing none, looking to the will of the committee, we'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 72 from committee with individual recommendations and attached physical notes, and that is the version D, the adopted CS.
Seeing no objection, the bill moves from the committee with attached physical notes and individual recommendations. We'll take just a brief at ease. We'll pass that around the table. Okay, we're back on the record. Next up is Senate Bill 80, Public Schools Mental Health Education. This is the first hearing of SB 80. Our intention is to hear a bill introduction, look at a short film clip, I believe, and a sectional analysis, take invited and public testimony, and then set the bill aside. Senator Gray Jackson, and Mr. Balgess, staff to Senator Gray Jackson, please come before the committee, put yourselves on the record, and proceed.
For the record, Senator Gray Jackson, I first like to start out by thanking this committee for hearing my bill. It's truly an honor. Actually, it's an honor to hear my bills heard in any committee, but I thank you for that. Senate Bill 80 amends the existing health education curriculum statute to include mental health curriculum in all K through 12 health classrooms to adequately educate students on vital information pertaining to mental health symptoms, resources, and treatment. Currently, the health curriculum guidelines include prevention and treatment of diseases, learning about good health practices, including diet, exercise, and personal hygiene, and bad health habits, such as substance abuse, alcoholism, and patterns of physical abuse. But the guidelines do not address mental health. Following passage of SB 80, the Alaska State Board of Education and Early Development and the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development will develop guidelines for instruction in mental health and consultation with the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and representatives of national, state, and tribal mental health organizations. Such organizations include, but not limited to, the National Council for Behavioral Health, Providence Health and Services Alaska, South Central Foundation, Anchorage Community Mental Health Services, Inc., North Star Behavioral Health System, and the National Alliance on Mental Health Illness Alaska. The standards will be developed in consultation with counselors, educators, students, administrators, and other mental health organizations to form effective guidelines for school boards, teachers, and students. After standards have been developed, the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development, indeed, will be responsible for implementation throughout the Alaska school system. As with existing health education curriculum, the DEED and the DHSS and the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault will provide technical assistance to school districts in the development of personal safety curricula. An existing school health education specialist position will assist in coordinating the program statewide. The state has a responsibility to treat current mental health crisis in Alaska as a serious public health issue. By creating mental health education standards and encouraging schools to teach a mental health curriculum, SB 80 aims to decrease the stigma surrounding mental illnesses and increase students' knowledge of mental health, encouraging conversation around an understanding of the issue. Mr. Chairman, at this moment, my staff, Keith Bogus, will go over the sectional analysis on behalf of me. Thank you.
Does any members have any questions with the bill sponsor before we start the sectional? Seeing none, please proceed, sir.
All right. Thank you. For the record, my name is Keith Balgess, staff to Senator Gray Jackson. Thank you, Chair Bishop and members of the committee. So the sectional analysis for committee substitute Senate Bill 80. Section 1. This section is amended by adding a new section to read legislative intent. It is the intent of the legislature that the Board of Education and Early Development develop guidelines for instruction in mental health in consultation with the Department of Health and Social Services, regional tribal health organizations, and representatives of national and state mental health organizations. Section 2. This section amends AS 1430-360A by removing the word physical when referencing instruction for health education and adding mental health to the list of curriculum items each district includes in their health education programs. Section 3 amends AS 1430-360B by clarifying that health guidelines developed by the Board of Education and Early Development must provide standards for instruction in mental health and be developed in consultation with the Department of Health and Social Services and representatives of national and state mental health organizations. Section 4 amends AS 143360 by adding a new subsection to read, E, a district may not instruct a student in mental health as part of a program in health education under A of this section without informed consent from the student's parent or guardian. The district shall inform the child's parent or guardian in the native language of the parent or guardian of the time, date, and content of the mental health education instruction. That consent is voluntary and that consent may be revoked at any time. Before instructing a student in mental health, the district shall obtain written consent from the parent or guardian indicating that the parent or guardian understands and agrees to the student's participation in the mental health instruction. And lastly, Section 5, this section amends the uncodified law of the state of Alaska by adding a new section to read, the State Board of Education in Early Development shall develop the mental health guidelines required by AS 143360B as amended by Section 3 of this act within 2 years after the effective date of this act. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a short video, and I just want everybody to know that the video is about 3 years old. It references a bill from several years ago, and also reference that it's a mandate, and it's not a mandate. It's only encouraging school districts to add it to the health curriculum. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Okay, are we ready? The comms people, whoever's running the video, ready to?
Yep.
In Alaska state law, there's this paragraph that describes what's supposed to be taught in health classes. This includes things like healthy relationships, cancer prevention, knowledge about alcohol and substance abuse. But there's one category that is hugely missing.
And mental health.
If we truly want to teach our students how to be healthy and happy for the rest of their lives, we need to treat mental health as just an important part of health as physical health. So HB 181 aims to add three simple words, and mental health.
I definitely see a lot of my peers and friends dealing with mental health and dealing it in a sense of like having so much stress, anxiety, but not really understanding what mental health or mental illness is in general.
So personally, I have struggled with depression and anxiety for most of my teenage life. And it began in eighth grade. I suffered a very severe depressive episode coupled with lots of suicidal ideation. And luckily, I was able to have a really supportive family who got me help. But it's really unreasonable to assume that the majority of teenagers suffering from this kind of issue have the same access.
Other students aren't so lucky.
1 in 5 individuals aged 13 to 18 have a diagnosable mental illness.
This is even more prevalent among Alaskan teens. 36% of us have reported that we've experienced a depressive episode, and 12% of us have attempted suicide.
It's frankly irresponsible to not support legislation for providing mental health education.
Overwhelmingly, teenagers want to talk about mental health and the experience that they're having because it is the defining experience of a lot of people's education.
I think what ends up happening is that students end up going to each other for information and Google, and they start kind of cross-referencing their information. And a lot of times it can be really inaccurate. Testing to see if I was depressed or not on Google did not solve any problem.
My classmates don't know where to go for help. They don't know who to turn to. They don't feel like they have people to turn to.
So instead of dealing with the emotions or handling them, I just kind of pushed them down and I went to a really dark place and I didn't know what to do about it. That's me. That's your friends, your family, your nieces and nephews, your grandchildren, and most importantly, those are your constituents.
50% of all lifetime cases begin by age 14. So by the time that freshmen enter high school, half of those who will experience mental illness in their entire life will already have some of those early onset symptoms. And so the earlier that we start that conversation with kids and the more information that we give to them, the better tools that they have to deal with their stress, their anxiety, or their friends' stress and anxiety.
This bill, I believe that it can save actual, real human lives. And it is your responsibility as lawmakers to protect the lives of your citizens.
Please support HB 181 and mandate mental health education in K-12 schools.
I'm Claire, and I support mental health education in Alaska.
I'm Jessica, and I support mental health education in Alaska.
I'm Bella, and I support mental health education in Alaska.
I'm Gabby, and I support mental health education in Alaska.
I'm Zoe, and I support mental health education in Alaska.
I'm Natalie, and I support mental health education in Alaska.
Okay, thank you for that. We're going to go to invited testimony at this time. I'd like to open up for invited testimony. We're going to go to Mr. Jason Lazard, Executive Director of NAMI in Anchorage. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me, Mr. Chair?
Yes. Could you keep your testimony to 5 minutes or less, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, for allowing me to testify and share some thoughts today. For the record, my name is Jason Lazard, and I live in Senate District L. In my day job, I'm the executive director of NAMI Anchorage, which is the local affiliate of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And for the last 3 years, I've had the distinct pleasure and honor to be the advisor to MHATS, or Mental Health Advocacy Through Storytelling, which is a youth-founded, youth-led program that works to decrease stigma and increase accessibility to mental health resources by sharing true personal stories of mental health struggle and triumph. Some of those members of that crew you just saw in the video that was presented there. Now, while I do believe that there is a lot of relevant data that I could share with this committee, both local to Alaska through the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and then some higher level stuff as was recently released on the U.S. Surgeon General's recent report where he declared a youth mental health crisis that was just in December of 21 that he released that report. In the interest of time, what I'd like to focus on are the following two data points because they are the most relevant to this conversation. And those are the following. 50% of all lifetime mental illnesses begin by age 14. That's a freshman in high school. 75% of all lifetime mental illnesses show their onset by age 24, right? So half of all lifetime mental illnesses are showing themselves in a high school freshman's health. So it's important to recognize that the onset of mental illnesses are largely happening in the teenage brain. And for that reason, it's really important that we address it with them and speak to them about it. It's also imperative that we do so in a safe, evidence-based manner through vetted programming. Now, recently, one of the teams that I've worked with through MHATS, Claire Rainier, a recent West High grad and Eagle River resident, was invited by Lisa Murkowski to testify at the U.S. Senate Help Committee hearing on mental health and substance abuse. The Help Committee is Health, Education, Labor, and Pension. Claire did a fantastic job and was very compelling, and she shared her story about her own journey through her mental health struggles and recovery in high school, and about how she was depressed and self-harming, but was also very confused about what was happening in her brain. And due to the stigma around mental health and mental illness, she didn't necessarily feel comfortable talking about it with anyone. And so she turned to online searches for answers. And I think we all can understand the dangers inherent with looking for answers to these big, important questions by just searching online through Google or something like that. And that is why this bill is so important. It encourages these conversations while ensuring that they follow safe messaging and proven best practices. We don't fix these problems or make any progress by ignoring those issues and or leaving youth out of the conversations. And so this bill will help to guide local districts to good programming if and when they're ready to bring that on. And that's really what's so key about this. This is not a top-down mandate. This is encouraging these conversations, but allowing for local communities, local districts and schools to decide, you know, what the program they might want to bring in would focus on. There might be a stronger need for suicide prevention in one community than in another. But then they would look to these standards and guidelines that were set up in state statute to make sure that these conversations are happening in a safe and effective way. And I don't want to belabor that point too much. I really wanted to focus on the fact that the onset of these mental illnesses are happening in the youth brain, and it's important to talk with them when it's happening to them because it can be so confusing. That's why this bill is so important and why, quite frankly, this can be a life-saving measure that is put into place. And so I just would leave it at that and respectfully ask that this committee support this bill and help it to move forward. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions if any members of the committee would have any.
Thank you. Senator Von Emhoff, did you have a question? No. I saw your hand go up there.
No, I think I appreciate that. I think the bill sponsor indicated that she says this is not a mandate, it's an encouragement. Even though the video, 3 years old, said
if I may, Mr. Chairman, Senator Von Emhoff, that's why I mentioned ahead of time that the bill, the video referenced bill, Senate Bill 181, and in this bill, as you can see, it's Senate Bill 80, and in the bill, it encourages, doesn't mandate, encourages. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Van Denhoff.
Okay, seeing no further questions, thank you, Mr. Lazard. We're going to go next to our second invited testifier, Mr. Justin Pendergrass. Can you hear us, sir?
I can.
Please put yourself on the record and try to keep it to 5 minutes or less. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Justin Pendergrass. I'm a suicide prevention specialist in the Matsu Valley. I was born and raised in Palmer, Alaska. I have a long history of mental health and struggles with depression, anxieties, and suicidal thoughts and ideation. I have attempted on my life a total of 5 times. Throughout my youth, I experienced increased traumas, increased experiences that I was introduced to by my father and my mother, from domestic violence to them attempting on their own lives. I witnessed my father attempt on his own life at 16 years old, which actually resulted in me becoming homeless for a total of 5 years. And it wasn't until I was about 21 years old that I was able to fully get restabled in my life. The lack of support at home forced me to seek support from other people, which pushed me into drug addiction, as well as battling with that deeper, darker depression. At 19 years old was the last time that I did attempt on my life, and I finally was able to understand what was happening in my mind, but it was far after high school. I didn't understand the hardships and the struggles that I was up against as I was growing up. Throughout my life, I have spent numerous hours, months, years just trying to study and understand my own mind so that I can better support myself when I'm dealing with mental health. I believe that the opposite of suicide and mental health issues is connection, and building connection is the only way that we can truly support someone who is struggling. I have been working for an organization in the Matsu Valley by the name of My House for the last 3 years, where I have successfully worked with over 300 different youth who have struggled with suicide thoughts and ideations, and I am happy to say that I have lost zero of those young men and women. I have been able to coordinate not just with them, but other community members to be able to support them in this, but all I am seeing is a lack of understanding and knowledge and in what's really happening with them when they're dealing with mental health crises. I find myself starting with the basics with a lot of young people, just how to regulate and understand these things. And I believe full-heartedly if I understood my own mental health earlier, it would have stopped me from ending up in situations that would potentially be preventable. I don't have a whole lot to say to you guys. I guess I just wanted to share my heart. And as a young man who did not have the support or the understanding of mental health when I was going through high school, I know the difficulties that that puts in front of us. As a young man whose parents could not afford mental health services or really the understanding to help me because they were dealing with their own mental health crisis, it made it difficult for me to feel like I belonged anywhere or that I even knew what was going on most of the time. I believe that this bill provides an opportunity for not just those people who have been given information about their mental health, but the youth that are never exposed to that information so that they can support their peers. We are in a different kind of crisis and a different type of epidemic, and with COVID finally coming and easing up just a little bit, we're starting to understand that the mental health ramifications that took place over the last 2 years because of the increased isolation is going to have a ripple effect for the next 5 to 10 years in our youth. And if we don't start taking action now, I do not believe that we are going to just be dealing with isolation and COVID-19, but we're going to be dealing with the ripple effect of lost loved ones. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, and we appreciate your work out there in the valley. Senator Von Imhoff has a question.
Well, it's more of a comment. So, Mr. Pendergrass, thank you very much for sharing a bit of your life history. It is heartbreaking, and I'm just very I'm very appreciative that you have taken lessons that you've learned, difficult lessons that you've learned in your life, and are applying them in my space, my house in the valley, to helping kids and youth gain a broader perspective. And I just want to thank you for doing that. And we need more Mr. Prendergrasses, just like you. We need more gentlemen, more ladies to step up and help. And because I think you're right that the COVID has certainly not helped anything. So thank you. Thank you very much for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Very good. That closes this portion of our invited testimony. Next, we're going to open it up for public testimony. We're going to go to John Atkinson, I believe, and Matt LaCatla. Are you online?
Yes, correct. I am here.
Yes. Put yourself on the record, please, in 2 minutes of testimony. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Hello. My name is Johan Atkinson. I am from Metlakatla, Alaska. And I have lived here in Metlakatla my entire life. I have two sons. My son is in middle school and high school, and here in the district of Metlakatla, Alaska. First, I want to share, so my life is fully devoted to working with the youth of Alaska. I have spent over 8 years as a youth counselor here in my village, and I've been very fortunate to be given the opportunity to not only work with the school districts here in Metlakatla, but in Ketchikan, in Anchorage, Fairbanks, North Pole, just to name a few, over the last 8 years. And through my experience in working closely with K-12 throughout Alaska, I have witnessed and learned firsthand on how important it is for the youth of Alaska to not only be supported academically, physically, but also mentally. Because everything that I teach when I go into the communities, when I go into the cities, every workshop, every presentation, is to fill the need and the gap that we have in teaching mental health. And because you cannot have success in school with poor mental health. You cannot have good physical health with poor mental health. And why it's so important to pass this bill, because when we teach the young people the importance of mental health and how to cope with the emotions and how to deal with the pandemic and it creates a supportive culture that where the young people can also support one another. So, you know, before the pandemic, there was already a strong need for healthy mental health to be taught in our schools. The numbers that we face here in Alaska, it was clear there was a strong need for mental health education to be taught. now that the pandemic is here and affected all of our lives, there is never a more stronger need and a more important time than to pass Senate Bill 80 than right now, because of the isolation, because of the negative effects that the pandemic has created to the youth of this state. You know, a bill such as this to be able to educate, to be able to support and teach the young people the basic understandings of who they are and how they are doing is the first step, is an important step to be able to have the success that we need in the state. So, you know, there are young people in every community that I have ever visited, every school district, where the only time young people see structure, get support, and see a healthy lifestyle are in the schools. And for us to be able to give the tools, if this bill is passed, to the teachers, to the students, that's going to, just like the other speakers have said, there's no doubt in my mind that it will give the tools to be able to save lives. And I will say that again. It will give the tools to be able to save lives here in the state of Alaska. You know, and I know we all want our young people to be successful, to be healthy, to be the change. Well, in order for that to happen, we have to be able to invest, again, not only physically, but mentally, because there is definitely a gap, and that's an important piece that we must fill. That's an important piece that we must compensate and invest our time in, and to give our full support.
Mr. Atkinson, please wrap up your comments and send the rest of your testimony to the Senate Finance Committee.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Again, thank you so much. You know, I just want to say, end with this, you know, our young people deserve this. Our state deserves this, you know, and as a father, as a counselor, and as someone who has worked in school districts throughout the whole entire Alaska, thank you for listening and for me allowing to share my experience.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Kathleen. I believe it's Wedmeyer. I probably butchered that, but you're with the Citizens Commission of Human Rights in Seattle. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And please put your name on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Great. Okay. Well, good afternoon, Chair Bishop and committee members. My name is Kathleen Wedemeyer, and I am the Deputy Director of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, a psychiatric watchdog group. I will just say quickly that while I am in Seattle, my chapter of the group, we work with folks in Montana and Alaska, as well as Washington. SB 80 should be about what we tell our children so they can maintain the ideals of their parents and society and recover from the travails of life when tragedy hits, causing an emotional crisis. Giving parents the rightful ability to control what is taught to their children is essential. Other factors remain with SB 80 that should be addressed. It's clear that changes must come to our mental health system and the methods our government authorizes and allows to be used on Alaskans. And I will give you a quote. There is now unequivocal evidence that of the failures of a system that relies too heavily on the biomedical model of mental health services, including the front line and excessive use of psychotropic medicines, yet these models persist. Unquote. That is from Dr. Danis Kouros, who was a UN Special Rapporteur on health. If we are going to be teaching our youth in school, we must begin to teach them what can be done and what is available besides the stigma of psychiatric labels and drug treatments. We believe SB 80 should be revised or amended to include the following. 1. Make the bill align with the state of Alaska's suicide prevention plan about creating health and wellness. 2. Broaden the committee participants to include parents, spiritual leaders or advisors, business leaders, and other healthcare professionals. This is essential. 3. Incorporate language to prevent this from becoming a screening or a potential screening, diagnosing, and treatment system for mental health providers. And 4. Include alternative information on what children and families can do that are non-coercive, non-drug options that can create illness. Please give our children the best opportunity for health possible and amend SB 80. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. If you would send your testimony to the Senate Finance Committee, we'd appreciate it. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Desiree in Tuksuk Bay. Desiree, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yes. Put your name on the record and your testimony. 2 minutes, please.
Through the chair. Good afternoon, Senators. My name is Desiree Azuluk. I live in Tuksuk Bay, and I am a student at Nelson Island School. I am currently in 12th grade. I am calling today in support of SB 80, an act relating of mental health education. Education, early detection, and intervention, as well as prevention efforts, are crucial to reducing difficulties that affect teenagers not only in the big cities of Alaska, but also the rural villages where mental health is extremely limited. With this act, it may increase the awareness of eliminate long-term disabilities caused by mental illness. Alaska's education system must develop a comprehensive mental health curriculum. Mental health, just as our physical health, is critical for our well-being. Incorporating mental health education and dispelling common misconceptions about mental illness is critical and leads to better understanding and reducing the stigma from those who experience mental illness. I urge you to vote in favor of SB 80, an act relating to mental health. Thank you, Senators, for the opportunity to speak to this committee.
Thank you for your testimony. It was right to the point. Good job. All right, we're going to go to Lucas Johnson, NAMI in Anchorage. Lucas, would you put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please?
Of course. My name is Lucas Johnson, and I'm a national mental health youth advocate that has been working closely with NAMI Anchorage and the mental health through storytelling organization that's run by youth in Anchorage. I'm just calling today on behalf of SB 80. It is an incredibly important piece of legislation that will systemically and systematically help many Alaskan youth who are suffering with mental illness in all corners of the state. It will continue to the effort that numerous other states around the country have been putting towards in the area of mental health education, and will provide a basis of basic understanding for individuals to go and seek help as they need in their individual communities and with individuals they trust. If we are to ever truly be able to help individuals who are suffering at the earliest stages of their life, we need to educate them on the components of their health that they often know the least about, their mental health. As a result, this bill will systemically help individuals who will need this type of support in the near and far future, and in many capacities will help individuals who currently do not know how to help themselves. I strongly urge all of you to support this incredibly important legislation and contribute to the betterment of all Alaskan youth. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Anybody in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, we will close public testimony at this time. Committee discussion. We're going to set this bill aside. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members.
All right. Our next meeting is tomorrow, February 9th at 9 a.m. On the agenda, we're going to finish our deferred maintenance schedule conversation with Office of Management and Budget. We are adjourned at 1:45.